is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Word with me, here you know BT. Know how it goes, shout out OCT. No real cap, call out what we see. Whole game ready, ball of blitz on three. No, you can't stand on it on 2 feet. I already know you can't ball with me. Cause I brought up with the squad and me. They get a letter, they calling me. Ball alert. Ball alert. Ball alert. Ball alert.
Ball alert. Welcome to the Ball Alert Show podcast, available everywhere you get your podcast. Please continue to like, subscribe, and share our YouTube page at Ball Alert TV. One time for Revolt. I go by the name of Ferrari Simmons.
I go by the name, you know, BT.
OCT, what up?
Lil Duval in the building. Hey! Hey, big dog, you all right? You woke up?
Yeah, man. Nah, it's just funny doing this.
No, he's just high.
I am high. But I mean, it's just, I supposed to been did this, but now I'm here.
Yeah, you finally here.
Yeah, I was supposed to been did it, but I'm here.
Because we don't want to really wild out. We really want to tell the Lil Duval story.
Okay. That's how people come here, you know, get to know our ballers, man. 25 years in the game.
Yeah, this is my 25th year. How y'all know?
I know. Hey,
25 years in the game.
I know all about you, big dog.
Yeah. I've been doing it for 25 years. Yeah, he from Florida. I know. That's why I would have did it for him, but I don't do podcasts. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm here now though. So come on, let's talk.
Let's go.
All right, let's take it back to Jacksonville.
Can we take it back to Jacksonville? Who was Lil Duval growing up?
My parents was more so. I was a village, so it wasn't just my parents. It was my family. It was my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I'm a product of my environment in a good way. You know, we get here everything bad about Jacksonville, but I'm one of the good things.
Yeah, I heard it was two sides of Jacksonville when I went one time. They was like, yo, you crossed the bridge, you know what I mean?
Now the bridge, cross the bridge kind of rough now too, but it's like, it is two sides. There's the college white boy side that they party like a motherfucker. Then you got us, the niggas, you know what I'm saying? both of them good. You just got to understand both of them.
Yeah. So, I wanted to go get the good food.
I represent
food,
so both.
They told me to go on the other side. They like, you want to get the good food, you got to go over there. But
to the north side, I mean,
safe.
We got the good side. I mean, even on the north side, the good food on the north side on the hood.
Yeah.
The hood. So if you want some good food, come to the hood.
Did you ever explore like music? Because I know you do the music now, and I actually love how you
It all was organic.
It was all organic. Did you ever have a rapper phase where you was like, I want to be a rapper? Oh, no.
I was you got to think, when hip hop came around, it came around the town when I was a kid. So it was like everybody would, like, no, we had a rapper in our neighborhood, which was my homeboy. So I went over his house and we used to listen to rap and we used to record stuff. But it was just like fun stuff. It wasn't like, this is what you're going to do to be famous. Like, the only thing I just knew, I was going to be an entertainer. I just didn't know how. So whatever was working, and the thing that worked the most was, I was funny, you know, so I was entertaining, so I just went with that, and that's where it went.
But who told you, like, man, you funny, man, you should really take this serious?
Nobody really. It was like a...
Did you, like, was you, like, the person that was funny that joned on people, cracked on people
all
the time?
Yeah, I always cracked, like...
So they didn't want to bother
you. Honestly, I was really the bully. Like, it was big. I was the littlest person, but I was the bully when it came to ranking.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Jonah, what y'all call it?
Ranking. Yeah, yeah. All so, like, ranking, all that.
When I was in the room, I used to rank on everybody. So that came organic for me. And then when I moved to Atlanta, my man, he used to be with Hindu Entertainment, which Coach K was probably the first person I met that was in the industry when I first moved here. Cause my man was signed to them, who Coach K worked for, and he the one, the guy. Matter of fact, it's funny how life worked, because the guy that put me on, he like a crackhead now on my street right now.
Oh Lord!
Whoa.
And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, sometimes that one person can change your life. That might be their only purpose in life. That little part of the ecosystem switch you over to make you who you is. So I guess in a way, if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't, because he the one told me to, like, man, let's go up here to the comedy club. You know what I'm saying? And I went up to the comedy club. I think I went to Chris Tucker, but I didn't go up. And then the next time I went up. So I'm saying, like, just that little thing there, he kind of instilled that in me, now that I'm thinking back.
Sparks a menu.
Yeah, I mean, he made me actually like, man, you could do this, because he was like the man when I came up too. Like, I was the man in high school. He was the man in high school. Mm. So when he left, he went to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Then soon as when I got in 12th, my first thing was like, I got to get out of Jacksonville. So now that I'm thinking, maybe just me seeing like him do it, I did it. And then when I got here, you know, when you get here, you meet whoever you know.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him, you know what I'm saying? So I clicked up with him. And
are you Lil Duval yet?
No, I didn't become Lil Duval.
So what's your name then?
I'm Rolling. You know what I'm saying?
Just rolling. Okay.
No, actually, I'm the nigga from Florida. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it was. Like, everybody from Florida linked up when we first moved to Atlanta. Yeah. Like, you knew Florida was like, when you know a Florida
stood
nigga.
Together. Yeah,
yeah. This was like the 90s. Up. Like, this was, I moved in 96. Okay. So during the Olympics.
Freaknik.
During the Olympics. Like, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Freaknik was dying off.
Dying off a little
but
bit.
Okay. The Olympics at first, that's when the Olympics was here. So I had moved at that time. So we all clicked up. Everybody from Florida clicked up. And I didn't start doing comedy till like 99.
Wow.
Okay.
So
what was that first time on stage like?
Nard hosting. He gave me the mic. Rest in peace. He gave me the mic. And I think if I wouldn't have got a laugh there, I probably wouldn't have did it.
Mm.
I probably wouldn't be doing that.
Nobody laughed, you would have just been like,
I'm never
doing this.
If I would have got booed that night, I probably wouldn't have did it. So it was all.
Did you have like a show prepped, or you just went up there and?
I had one joke. I was like, try this joke. I think I said something about they say black people make things out of nothing. I said I think it's Mexicans. Get anybody that could take a 2-door Toyota Tercel and turn it into a pickup truck. So that's what my joke was, and that worked. That's the only thing I remember off that. And then from that, I had another joke, and everybody knew me from one joke rolling.
No,
I had a joke about T-shirts. I was like. And if, I was like, man, I'm selling these T-shirts. It was a blank T-shirt. How you say they cost $50. Back then, ain't nobody paying no fucking $50 for T-shirts. So
right.
That shit used to rip. So those was my jokes. And they just spilled from there. And I just kept going. And I started incorporating my comedy with music. Because I always was like a hip-hop comedian. So I just intertwined into one. And it was just always me. And then here I am.
How did that lead you to Cedric the Entertainer giving you a shot?
That was, I did that thing in Oakland. It was some type of competition out there. And I didn't win, but one of the guys, the manager, his road manager, shit. Man, don't get mad at me for forgetting your name, bro.
Uh-oh.
KC? Shit, I forgot his name. But he saw me. He was like, hey, man, Cedric going on the road, and he taking up-and-coming comedians on the road, and I think you'd be good. So he took me on the road.
Are you Lil Duval yet?
No.
You're still rolling.
Still rolling. I didn't become Lil Duval until I did Coming to the Stage. And the only reason I did that was because I got tired of repping my city. By saying, like, sometimes, now I got tired, it was like, it was hard for me to sometimes just say, I'm from Jacksonville, I'm from Duval.
Oh, you wanted to.
So now it was like, you couldn't help but know I'm from Duval by saying my name. Because everywhere I went in Florida, like, I was already popular before I got on Coming to the Stage, because
mm-hmm.
I had from doing Cedric and doing Comic View. So I was the man in Florida.
Yeah.
So everywhere I went in Florida, it was like, that's Lil Duval. Because
yeah.
they knew me from Duval. So I was like, damn, they know me from now. I'm finna call myself Duval all over the world. That way yeah. I ain't even gotta, I'm still repping my crib and I'm still saying, because like if you listen to my first shit, I used to always say Duval at the end of the every show.
Mm-hmm.
So now I ain't have to say it no more. Soon as they said, so I knew it. I identified from not just from Jacksonville, from people from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They knew off then. That's inspiration. Damn, this nigga here from where I'm from. So I had already implemented in my. So when I did come to the stage, I knew I was like, I'm gonna call myself Duval from now on. Lil Duval from now on. That's where it came from.
Was you question? I always wanted this. Was you on coming to the stage when Lil JJ was on there?
Nope. But that goes back to the Mandela effect.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
What's the Mandela effect?
Where they say you think you remember some, but you really don't. Like everybody right now think they saw me with Lil JJ, but Lil JJ was on the season before me, and he won, and I was on the season afterwards.
See, everybody, why does everybody think
because that? Y'all slow. Humans are slow. Humans really are slow, so they don't realize that, but they think they do. And social media don't make it no better. So you thinking you doing something, but you really don't know yourself.
We'll be right back with more of the Baller Alert Show.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When did you meet T.I.?
Like, probably, shit. I don't know. When did
you were definitely a little Duval.
When did I'm serious?
You was in all the videos.
Yeah, that had to be 2001, 2002.
Yeah, right before, because I'm Serious came out. He wasn't like popping, but he had a deal. So I knew him around that time when they had Dope Boys in the Trap. And he didn't really pop till trap music. So I met him through that. I met him just passing by doing shows, and then he used to come to Uptown at when we used to do Sunday Night with Nard. So I met him through that. So in between all that, we just used to text through Sidekick and shit like that there then. Then once he got trap music, he blew up. Mm. You know, so we just, it was just natural. Like, people think it was like a lot of stuff I did was like, all right, I'm gonna get with this nigga, and this would, like, they think I blew up from being a hip hop comedian hanging with Tip, but it wasn't that. It was just, we was friends, and it's just organic. If anything, it was Clay through all that, honestly. Because whenever we did shows, Clay would put me on the host of the concerts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he just said, make sure you're there. I made sure I was there, and I did them. You know what I'm saying? It just organically happened. So that's how that happened.
Yeah, because you was in all the music videos at one point in time.
That's because Atlanta was hot at the time, and yeah. I was here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it was organically happening. It was just like I was the young comedian, and like even with Ludacris. Ludacris used to host, used to be on the radio, so he'll host
Chris Lover.
Every Tuesday or Wednesday, he'll host the Tuesday, Wednesday radio personal host, and he used to be there. So naturally, you just meet people, and through that. And that's how we became cool. So it was just a natural thing at that time. Everybody, Atlanta was bubbling at the time. You know, 106 and Park was popping. So Atlanta had 106 and Park on lock. And I was on all the videos.
It looked strategic because I was like, man, how is he in every video?
Because I was where it was at. It's just like now. It's just like if you're on social media right now, if you're in the mix of when everybody was bubbling, you just naturally in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you know what you're doing while you're in it, I just understood where I was. Mm-hmm. And I capitalized on it. Same thing with social media. I understood off the beginning what it was, and I just took advantage of it at the time and understood. And I just, and that right now, I reap the benefits off just being grandfathered in.
I know you're super cool with Charlamagne. How did you guys get cool?
Social media. I met him on MySpace. I just met him. Yeah, I DM'd him or whatever it was back then. I was like, cause he was on Ozone Magazine. I was on Ozone Magazine. I did 10 Things I'm Hating On. He had another little thing, and so I hit him up. I was like, man, I fuck with you, Woo-de-woo. I was like, we need to link up and do skits. I used to fly up to New York. I flew up to New York, did the skits, and that was before skits was popping. We was the first one. The good thing about social media, you can look at all the timestamps.
Yeah, everything. Yeah.
Like, we was really the first ones to do all them shit. So we started doing, that's how we built. And I think the good thing was, I never wanted to be what he wanted to be, and he never wanted to be what I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and see, the difference is now everything is focused on media.
Yeah.
So now media is popular. I don't give a fuck about media. And that's why I hate doing these podcasts. Yeah. But that's where all the, that's where we evolved to now.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's worked out perfect for it in his world. And see, it looks like it's, but that's really what he was already. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? He's always been a media person. It's just the industry has moved on to that. So it's just been natural. We still cool to this day. I don't want to do what the fuck he do. He don't want to do what I do. It's just the industry has moved to that. So.
And they get to hear you every day on Donkey the other day because he got you in the drop.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I talk to this nigga every day. I don't keep up with what he doing. We just talk as friends. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
He'll
vent to me about some shit that happened in there. I vent to him some shit. We friends. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I don't ask him for shit. He don't ask me for shit.
But listen, that's how friendship's supposed to be, right?
That's what I thought. But I mean, in this industry, like if you can't use your friends, it's used. But I don't see it like that.
Mm.
You know, I like having friends that we ain't. Cause we wasn't built off of that. You know what I'm saying? Even though, actually, I guess we was, but we really wasn't. Because we just organically did shit.
Because y'all are real friends, like not industry friends. I think that's kind of what you're trying to explain.
Yeah, I'm the bad person to ask about how to do shit because I do shit organically.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've done in my career, I've actually did because I want to do. I move by my own drum. So I'm the wrong person to ask when it comes to how to make it. Because if you go by me, you probably going to fuck up because I'm just doing what I want to do.
Or you probably just not going to make it.
You might not, because I mean, if you go by, actually you could if you follow my what's the word, ideologies of life, because I don't move by business, I move by being a genuine person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You might not make it a billionaire, but you're going to be happy in life.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm
saying? So
we was talking off camera about like how the new generation of comedians, like everybody just doing anything to make it. And you know, like, what's some advice you would like really give people? Like, if they really
I ain't got no advice for these niggas. You know, I think we ask for too much advice because we looking for shit like words to change shit.
Yeah,
you just follow. Like everybody I looked up to, I didn't really meet them. I just paid attention. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of the people I looked up to, my first people looking up to, was Deion Sanders, because he was from Florida. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just, I identify. The same way I was saying, I put Lil Duval to make people identify. I identify with him because he was from a Florida nigga, and you know what I'm saying? I couldn't play no fucking football, but it's just the fact that he was from there. You know what I'm saying?
Gave you hope.
Yeah, it just gave me hope. And I didn't meet him until I became somebody, you know what I'm saying? But it just, it gave and instilled with me. He didn't tell me, all right, do this, do that. It's just I watched. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, just watch. Don't go by.
Because it's probably annoying, right? Like a lot of comedians,
mind it. You know what I'm saying? Because what's they used to do that? Andrew Schultz used to aggravate the shit out of me about it. That's why I say, if you want something, you're going to have to pull it out of me.
Right.
And it's going to be people I give a fuck about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like certain people shouldn't get certain shit. You know what I'm saying? So,
I am a fan of you on social media because you don't give a damn.
I do, but I...
Do you?
I don't care.
I do care. I care. I just...
Because you're freely typing. You're freely...
I feel like that's where your advice is in the tweets.
Those are very good. Yeah.
I just seen something went viral.
I come from an era of social media where you say what's on your mind. It's not like a... Like, I'm not making a press release. Now it's a press release, everything you say. So when I'm talking, I'm just saying what's on my mind. I'm not saying it's facts. You know what I'm saying? It's just, this was on my mind. Mm. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
But now we take it as, these are facts. This is, you heard what Duval said? He said,
your stuff always
shit.
Going viral.
Your shit going viral. Do you even know? Do you even know? You just log on.
I don't know
like,
what y'all gonna be offended by till y'all get offended.
or do your team like,
I don't care. Now, I don't care if you get offended. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I'm not saying, all right, this going to really piss them off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Unless I'm just doing it just to be an asshole and it's just some non-threatening type shit. But it's never like I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm finna go viral. Like, I'm not the nigga that asks about how to go viral because I really don't know.
I mean, you do viral stuff. You do the. Are you still doing the auntie of the auntie
I had
of the
to stop doing that because they started banning it because niggas started hating.
Auntie of the week.
Yeah, like somehow.
Wait, they was banning it?
Yeah, man. People.
You was posting some fine aunties.
Yes. That shit was lit, nigga. They was banning them motherfuckers, but I do stuff like for the ecosystem, for us, you know what I'm saying? Like when I do stuff, like my page is mostly for all of us, you know what I'm saying? Not just, when I say all of them, I'm not just saying like niggas, it's just an ecosystem of people that grew up around what that can identify with what I'm going through.
Conversations with Unk.
Yeah, conversation with Unc, like the podcast that I'm doing that I really didn't want
to
do.
Yeah, I was about to say, you don't like media.
Yeah, you don't like media, so why are you doing it?
Shit, they
you
trying to get me.
Were you coerced into it?
I mean, it's kind of like the people that you trust, they keep wanting me to do it, so I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying?
You got to make some money off it because you
like
got fans.
Charlamagne, Charlamagne been trying to get me to do podcasts since he been doing Brilliant Idiots,
yeah,
which I don't know how long that's been. That's been since
that's been
the podcast first started.
Yeah,
so they've been trying to get me to do it, but like that's his lane. You see, like I said, that's the media lane. That's never been my lane. But he been trying to get me to do it. But now, 10, 15 years from now, everybody doing it. Now I don't want to do it because everybody doing it.
Yep. Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? Like yep. I'm one of the people, if everybody doing it, I don't want to do it. But they keep forcing me to do it. So they finally got me to do it while I was laying on my back and I couldn't do shit else and I was hurt. So it was him. Clay actually talked me into doing it. So I was like, all right, if I do, I do it with you. It'll be me and Clay. It was supposed to be me and Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the check from them niggas. Then he died. So now I'm doing it because it's out of respect of my nigga Clay and them. Because they could have been took the money back. You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, that's what happens when you do shit with people that you fuck with, like with Dolly and Charlamagne and them. So I'm just doing it just out of respect, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like they give me a chance to do it how I want to do it, you know what I'm saying? So it's just conversations and it's understanding and just let people pick my brain, you know, so.
And you said you got hurt. For people who don't know, you actually got hit by a car.
Oh, yeah, I got hit by a car.
How'd you get hit by a car?
The car hit me. Shit. The motherfucker hit me from the back while I was in the Bahamas. The lady hit me.
You have a lot of near-death experiences.
Yeah, I got a lot of them.
I be scared when you be posting your plane. I ain't gonna lie.
Why?
Because it just looked like it's just one win away from it just never coming back.
But why?
Oh, my God.
I'm glad he's saying it because this is why we're ignorant as a people, because we don't know.
But listen, all right, so the first time I ever flew private, right?
Right.
I was like,
where did you fly? A jet?
It was a jet. Uh-huh. But I was like, how do people brag about it? I was like, I don't like this because it was like the turbulence. I don't know, maybe because,
I feel like it's more turbulence in the commercial flights. I've had more turbulence. See, with me, I don't fly unless I see the weather perfect. But I don't catch too much turbulence like that. I do, but I don't, not as much as I do on the commercial.
Because you can kind of tell your pilots, like, yo, go this way to avoid this weather.
Yeah, you can see the weather on your, I got an app right now. I check the weather all the time, called 4Flight. Everybody in aviation use it. But I mean, I do it too. That's one of the things I do too, to open our eyes up to understand the aviation, because we really lost.
We really don't know.
Because this shit been going on for hundreds of years. When planes invented?
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? And how many niggas y'all know really got a plane for real?
I don't know anybody.
That's my point. And we should know, because now it's evolving to where planes can damn near fly themselves now. Mm-hmm. So we going to be handicapped, like, why people, how people have to catch the bus now, rely on the bus. If you can't fly certain shit, you can't do certain shit. So, I mean, we should get into it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it ain't for everybody, but in my business, it makes sense for me, because I travel for a living. So it made sense for me to get a plane.
Yeah, and I always see in the comments, like, people always be like, you're not scared being on that little plane and stuff like that.
I mean,
that's the reason
that's
I
what
ask.
They used to say, but after a while, like, I've been flying for like 6 years now. So over time, now they starting to, more people are into aviation now, just from watching people like me and other people, like my man Mel the Traveler. He does aerobatic. I don't want to say it wrong. It's probably a right or wrong way to say it, but he make the planes flip and do all that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? So when you see people that look like you do it, you end up doing stuff like that. Yeah. So that's the only reason. That's one of the reasons why I show it more on my page.
Yeah. I like when you posting content like that, because it gives us a...
You are what you see.
You have one of the rare things that a lot of comedians don't have, a number one Billboard single.
Yeah.
That shit was big. Now, when you recorded that record,
smile,
I could tell.
Living my best life.
I could tell, and correct me if I'm wrong, you just had a good ass time recording that shit.
Yeah, I mean, but I always have good times. All my songs come from something I'm doing or a joke. So that song came from a joke, from me saying smile, bitch, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I built it off of that. So, and I've always, like I said, I understood how social media was, and I understood other songs I was making big just from being me. So I knew if I could make they songs big, I could do the same thing with me. You know what I'm saying? So before that, I did Killing with the Shoulders. And I did that with Snoop.
So I like how you put Ball Greasy on there.
And Ball Greasy. Mm-hmm. So once I did that, I was like, oh yeah, this next shit. But I didn't know it was going to do as big as it was going to do.
Man,
when I do something,
huge.
I do it for like a joke. So when I go on my shows, I could just put it in my show. So to me, that's a win for it all. Mm-hmm. And so when I did it for that. And I was like, oh, no, this shit going to hit. You know what I'm saying? But I thought it was just going to hit for like all my fans and all that. But then when I posted and I started seeing how it was going, I was like, oh, nah. This shit finna change the world.
Did that change some things for you? Because music, you were putting music out, but never to this level before.
It changed in a way,
and
but it didn't.
The number one Billboard is really, you're visible.
It changed that in price a way. Did,
no, because I was already making money before that.
Okay.
Honestly, it kind of, because people don't know this. I ain't made a dime from that song.
What?
Yeah, like I ain't made a dime from that song yet, so it ain't like,
why?
I mean, not as far as from the record, you know what I'm saying?
Why, like, because it was a sample?
Well, that too, but it was a lot of other stuff that I don't feel like talking about right now.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I don't feel like flexing on a nigga right now.
Uh-oh. Okay.
But,
what made you chop off your infamous dreads? Because you had those for a while.
Them bitches was a headache. Them bitches had a vein going through my head. Bitches were heavier than a motherfucker, man. So I cut them bitches off.
Listen, like, but you know, to cut off dreads is it's an experience. You got to say, nah, I don't want this shit no more, because it take you a long time to get them to the length.
It ain't matter to me.
And you ain't give a damn.
But you know what though? You it worked out good for you, because some people would cut their dreads and then they just lose all their hair.
Yeah, I did it way before that. I was still young. I did it when my daughter was like 2. So okay. Yeah, 1 or 2. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd have seen some people in the hood like, man, how you just had dreads now?
Now, that was over time, like, because most people, when you catch me, like, say, for instance, I don't know how old are y'all, but, like, if you was in your 30s, you probably caught me when I had dreads, mm-hmm. And you start living life, the next thing you know, you see me without dreads, you like, hold up, I thought he had dreads, so, but in that midst of time, that's been 10 years, so, yeah. You'll see when 10 years down the line, people still thinking about you from 10 years from now.
You're right about that. So who would you say your top comedians are right now, like in the game? Or do you even care?
I don't care, bro. I don't care. But I go with it. Jay Ski, Moneybag Mafia.
Time for Tip them.
Yeah. Who else? The top. I'm trying to think of people that I know funny but don't get enough looks.
Gotcha.
JJ Williamson. That's one of the funniest niggas that people don't know.
JJ Williamson.
Yeah. Okay. He on the radio out there in Dallas.
Okay.
With Dee Dee in the morning.
Okay.
I wish you would have told me you was gonna ask me this before this. Who mm-hmm. else? Erica Duchess.
I'm talking for Duchess.
Yeah, and Nav show. Green.
Nah, that's my boy.
Yeah, I like Nav.
Yeah.
Nav funny. Now, I do want to talk about something kind of deep, because that was my guy, too.
Okay.
We lost our guy, Clay.
Yep.
I've known Clay for a very long time, but I know that hit you hard, too, because mm-hmm. was he your day-to-day manager?
He was more than my manager. He was like my older brother.
Okay. Mm.
So a lot of people lost business stuff, but I lost like an older brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Clay was a good guy, man. Like, it's hard to find people like that in this business. You know what I mean? I say it all the time. Like, when you find genuine people, like, you got to keep them close, because mm-hmm. you know how this business is. Everybody act like they want to be your friends or act like they want to help you and stuff like that. And it's really rare to find good people in this business.
Yeah, it is. But he was one of the good ones. So
mm-hmm.
that's why. But the good thing about it, I never took him for granted. So okay. And I always gave him his flowers while he was here. So that's how you got to never take nobody you love for granted.
Right.
I like that.
We the Ones tour, yep. You're on right now.
Yep, all of us on that bitch. We showing how comedians can do their thing and show love and kill that bitch all in one. It's more than a comedy show. It's like a comedy concert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a comedy party.
How'd you get the call for that?
It's something we always had in the making since, like, the promoter I've been doing business with for, like, years, you know what I'm saying? He a little younger than me, but he always been doing this thing. So round when Smile Bitch came along, we had an idea. He was like, yeah, we're going to do something, be the next wave. You know what I'm saying? And so it just evolved into this. And I mean, it took a time, because with 2020 and all that stuff there, then I got hit by a car. So it took a time, but now it's finally here. And we've been selling out everywhere, and it's been great.
Everybody getting along backstage?
Yeah, we having a great time. Like,
anybody scared to go on after certain people?
I was going to say, is people scared to go on after you?
No, actually, hey, it's like, because honestly, I'm supposed to be going last, you know what I'm saying? But like, it's really me, honestly, but they don't hesitate to go up after me. And like, if I do have to go last, like, we rotate, honestly.
Gotcha.
Like, certain cities I do last. Like, in Florida, there's no way they're not
going. You gotta go last.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Closing. But like, certain times in certain cities I go last. But if they go last, like, we have to, the main thing is staying on time.
Mm. Okay.
Staying your time, because no matter how funny you are, if you go over your time, if it's 6 of us, it's going to be like 3 hours. So the last nigga, it's going to be a long time. So you want to respect your time. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly, the person that take the longest is probably me.
On stage?
Yeah, so I be taking the L sometimes. Like, I tell him I'm sorry. And shout out to D-Ray, because D-Ray, he headline a lot. And
that's
he
my don't guy, get, man.
D-Ray a funny yeah. motherfucker, yeah, too.
D-Ray is hilarious.
Yeah, he's one of the greats, for real. Like, nice. Like, joke for joke, ain't too many people fucking with D-Ray. So for D-Ray to go last after all of us, and just for anybody to go after me, it's a lot, because I do music, comedy, mm-hmm. I do it all.
You out there performing.
Yeah, I tap dance. You
do
know
you
what
think
saying?
There's any another comedian that can go joke for joke for you in the ranking section?
I don't rank like that no more. I don't even have like a, I don't really think about it like that, because.
Okay. So you're deactivated in that area.
I just do what I do, man. I don't, like, honestly, I pull back a lot because I feel like I can hurt people's feelings. So I like to pull back. Like, a lot of times I spell niggas for real, man, because I'm an older nigga, so a lot of stuff that don't hurt me can kind of make another motherfucker, like, get on the ledge or something. So I let people talk shit. I give people jokes to give on me. I do it all the time, especially on social media. So I don't care what you say about me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I have to be conscious of what I say about other people.
Because I was going to ask you this. That was going to be my next question. Do you care about what people say about you? Because
when you go viral,
sometimes in a negative way.
I really don't.
The ladies be going crazy sometimes. Sometimes they
I don't take it personal with the women because I know they don't get it.
But I feel like you got a lot of female fans, though.
I do. I tell people this all the time.
They'll turn on you in the blink of an eye.
I tell people this all the time. My biggest haters be black women, but my biggest supporters is black women.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they the ones show me the most love. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? It's just women being women.
Do you read the comments sometimes?
Or? Yeah, but they be entertaining to me. Like, it takes a lot. It takes everybody. It takes other people to tell me, like, man, you need to delete that or something. You know what I'm saying? Robin or maybe Clay used to, like.
Charlamagne. Does he ever tell you to delete anything?
Nah, Charlamagne be the one putting the battery in your back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
shit. You know what I'm saying? But like me, I don't know what they're offended by until like it'd be like 2-3 hours later. And I'm looking at my name. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they mad at it. It don't be hitting me like that because they read it. You got to think when you're reading something, you're reading in your mind, not in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, or like, if you having a bad day and you and your man and guys in the argument and then
here's a little Duval on the timeline.
I'm on the thing talking about bitches ain't shit. This nigga ain't shit. Yeah, this motherfucker calling us bitch. You know what I'm saying? So you take it personal. But so I don't ever. I haven't been on there longer than anybody. I can show you my page right now. I get death threats. I get everything. None of that shit bothered me. I might be.
People be sending you death threats?
Man, I done got death threats longer than y'all. How old are you?
30.
Yeah. How long?
no way.
How long? Hold on, let me see when.
Wait, there's no way you've been getting death threats that long.
Shit. You say 30? Since you've been about 10, at least.
Since maybe 2005?
Yeah.
You've been getting death threats since then.
Yeah, but I don't take it like I don't know. Maybe because I'm older, so I always looked at social media. That's why it was hard for me to understand cyberbullying. I'm like, how can you be mad? How can this person bully you?
On the internet.
From a device.
Yeah, I never understood that. Now I get it because people in their head more so than I am. So, but it's never bothered me. I've never got knocked off my square on social media.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
With more of the Baller Alert Show.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step, and you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I do want to ask you, because, you know, you're just like a ball of energy. You always energize people and stuff like that. But I know sometimes Lil Duval may have a bad day.
No, I don't never.
You'll never have a bad day?
Never have a bad day.
Does anything stress you or anything like that? No. Well, okay. Answer this then. What's the mental space that you're in to be like that?
Come from programming. I program myself like this over time. That's why I say this conversations, we just talk until our ass catch fire. It's what you do every day is who you are. You know, we all are creatures of habit. So by me, every day over time, I progressed into the person that y'all see right now.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever you're trying to be, you got to progress into that strategically and understand your programming, understand the programming that you're already in and reprogram it. You know what I'm saying? And be real with yourself and know. Like, I didn't start getting smart until I accepted how dumb I was. Mm. So once you accept how dumb you are, you move forward because you know, all right, I can only get better, you know, so.
Mm. Wow. I appreciate you spending some time.
Yeah, we appreciate you for stopping by.
Yo, I got another question, too. So how did you get this plane?
I bought it.
When'd you buy it?
I got three planes.
You got three planes?
Yeah. I bought my first plane. I landed. As soon as I landed in PDK, that bitch cut off.
Whoa. Do you fly your own plane?
Yeah, I do. Well, I haven't lately because I got a pilot. Like I said, I just getting back on the road, get back on my feet and shit like that. And my flight instructor crashed and died. So that was another thing. I got a life, but it's a whole nother story. But anyway, so what happened was I learned through my first plane, just understanding, like how I learned, just going ahead first. So I bought a plane, learned about planes, then found a pilot, and he taught me a lot. My guy Blaine, shout out to Blaine now, he works for a private company or whatever. And so through that, I just learned, and over time, as I learned, I started sharing. Then I bought another plane. Then I started getting addicted to them bitches.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to slow down. So I bought a seaplane. And then I got hit by a car.
What's a seaplane?
A plane that lands in the water.
Oh, a seaplane. I'm thinking the letter C.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is educational.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, about that.
I'm looking at you. I'm like, man, like he has a plane, and you can see all these people on the internet talking about all this money they making.
Everything I'm talking about now is the same way I used to talk about social media 20 years ago, and everybody was like, what? So that's what I'm saying. It's just like, once you understand what it is, you can finesse this whole system in life.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to understand it first. If you look around us every day, shit going on. Yeah. Only people fucked up is our industry, the entertainment industry. The world's, Atlanta's still popping.
Why?
Huh?
Why is ours messed up the most?
Because we was leaning on it so much and took it for granted, I think. Mm. We took for granted instead of using it as an ecosystem, because we was really doing great, but we so busy chasing this over here that we said, fuck this. And now that this is nothing no more, we done left this, just like segregation. You know what I'm saying? We did the same thing with this entertainment shit. So now it's out of our arms' reach, but it's too late now for this generation.
We're so glad that you're here still, you know, to share these stories, even though I know you're reluctant.
Yeah, and I see, like, we really do got to pry stuff out of you, because you got a lot of knowledge.
When is the book coming? Are you ever going to write one? Or?
Me and Charlamagne were just talking about that, but, like, I probably will later.
Yeah, you need to, man. It's just needed for the culture. We appreciate you stopping by the Baller Alert Show. Before we get out of here, we do have a pep talk.
What's up, Baller Alert? It's your boy, Lil Duval. Robin, I'm here. And my pep talk is, if at first you don't succeed, quit. It ain't for you.
Baller Alert!
Can't get enough of Baller Alert? Follow us on all social media platforms at Baller Alert. Log on to BallerAlert.com.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.